Right now, it's 8:16 on the ticket. We're going to talk about talking.
An amazing thing happened the other day in our household. My wife was on the phone with one of our friends, and I was doing some things around the house. I was able to accomplish four or five different tasks, from doing some work for this very radio show that we do every morning. Went out in the yard, did some yard work, went out and fixed something in the backyard. And all this time, the same phone conversation is going on. And I thought that more than an hour had gone by, and finally they hung up. And I said, just for kicks, look at the time spent talking there, the length of your call. 1 hour, 21 minutes. I'm going to ask you, when is the last time you had a phone conversation that went, I'll start over, 20 minutes, let alone an hour and 20 minutes?
So I have a good buddy that moved out of state, and so I don't see him very often. And I think last fall he and I talked for about an hour, and we only talk maybe twice a year.
Okay.
And I think we talked for an hour. We had a lot to catch up on.
Sure.
But outside of a special case like that,
or if we've got something big at the station that we've had long conversations before.
Sure. Business-related.
Business-related, yeah. You know. But just, you know, guys, I think it is a gender separation thing for the most. Now, and we'll break that down a little further here
distance,
in a second, too.
Distance.
Because we do know some guys who can hold court for a while.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And some of them are in this business that can start talking, and you really can't slow them down. But that is amazing. And on the other end, and we've talked about this topic a lot, where maybe the wife in the relationship will be talking, and the guy's kind of like, wow, okay. Well, I do think you have a responsibility, and this goes to me, to be a good listener and make sure. And I think the last 14 months have been different, where people have found themselves around each other more, and maybe you realize something about someone's habits that maybe you didn't realize before, and we're just, you know, going through our everyday lives. But I think that is important. On the other end, if you're not a big talker, and we're very strange examples of this because we talk every morning for 4.5 hours. And as we've mentioned, sometimes we'll go home and we really don't want to have another conversation more than 5 minutes or so. That's not really fair to our partners, because they may have a long list of things that are important to them, important to everybody in the family, and you need to talk about them. But, you know, we need maybe some time of decompression. But I think that I have, at least in the 14 months, I've tried to be better about that. I know I have to be better, because even though we talk for a living, I would not consider myself a talker. In social settings, I don't think I'm the one that really dominates conversation. We're all three kind of like this. That we're basically kind of quiet people, aren't we?
Yeah, and whenever I'm in a social setting, I would say 9 times out of 10, after that dinner or birthday party or wherever you are, someone will say to me, are you okay? Are you in a bad mood? And I'm like, no, I had a ball.
Right.
Oh, really? Because you didn't really say much and everybody thought you were in a bad mood. No. I actually loved it. I'm only going to say something if I have something to say.
Right.
And maybe every once in a while, just to remind people I'm alive. But yeah, and I don't like that, because I really am having a good time most of the time. But if you're not talking all the time, people think, uh-oh, he's not happy.
Yeah. I know I am too. And I need to do a better job, I think, of engaging in conversation, because I will also see this person have conversation with someone we've never met before. And they can carry on a 5-10 minute conversation with them. I would have definitely condensed it to about 30 seconds or so.
Right.
And does that, and I think part of why they do that is, I think, an endearing quality to them. I think they really are a sweet and caring person. They really have an interest in their friends or their family member, or in this case, someone we've never met before, but they'll have that conversation with them. That has made me kind of feel bad. God, am I a sorry person? Because I'm trying to minimize conversations and turn that into about a 20 to 30 second back and forth, more than a Oh, really? Okay, well, tell me more about your job. I'm not one of those who does that. Does that make me sorry for not doing that?
No, I think there's a middle ground somewhere. I also like to try to engage a stranger or somebody I've just met or whatever it is and show some interest. I think that's a great human thing to
do. We all need to work at that.
We should all practice not necessarily always redirecting it to you. I know we do that a lot here on the show, but that's kind of our job, right? To tell stories and whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're meeting somebody or you're even out with friends, I think asking them questions about their lives is really important.
Yes.
Makes that people feel, you know, valued, loved, whatever it happens to be. But I don't think I'd take it to the lengths that you're talking about with the person you're referencing. You know, there's somewhere in the middle. I'm not going to do the full 5-10 minute full court press on the stranger that I've just met and really dig deep into their lives.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that sometimes. I'm going to do a much more abridged version of it. Yeah, Gordo will do the deep dive.
Yeah, I'm kind of an all or nothing.
Yeah.
I'd say probably about 70-80% of the time, maybe even a little bit higher, I do what is the one thing I can say in response to their question that immediately ends this conversation?
But then the other time, you go off sometimes too. Yeah.
Yes, because I love talking with people. I love their life stories. I love hearing, you know, their perspectives on things. And it's amazing how much people will open up if you just listen to them and ask them questions. And a lot of people are really interesting. And you discover that a lot of people who don't think they're very interesting to me, they have incredible life stories.
Yeah.
But they don't think that they have incredible life stories. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've seen several different studies on this as far as the gender breakdown. One study had it that if it's almost twice as many words used in one day by a woman than a man. And then another study where they had this device that would randomly survey them, and when they would talk, it would activate and record it, and it was almost dead even.
Yeah, it's inconclusive.
It's very inconclusive. And I think it doesn't always apply to gender, because like I said, I've known guys who are the light of the party, the life of the party. They are the ones who hold court. Even if you sit down and have a meal with them, you may get 5 words in.
Hey, buddy.
And again, yeah, like when we sit down with the laddie. but that's great, because like you, Junior, I kind of feel like, well, this is great. He's got great stories, and this is really interesting, and I'm willing to sit here and listen to it. It's really entertaining.
Well, there's some entertaining talkers, and there's other people who are just filling time with words, and they don't seem to be in any kind of constructive...
No filter.
Yeah, there's no narrative construct that actually is entertaining.
Yeah, that's a key, too.
Yeah.
But there's great storytellers, and I always love great storytellers.
Yeah.
Dale's a great storyteller. Oh, you can sit around him and he'll talk for forever. He's got a million of them.
Yeah.
But then there's other guys that I've known who can just ramble on. And I knew one dude who had a superpower in that you can, I mean, and I consider myself at least a decent communicator. I've had enough experience being on the air and so on.
You're good at it. Yeah.
And even I could not figure out a hack to wedge in hey, I gotta go. I mean, this guy had a superpower that he could keep me for like 2 hours.
Yes, I know.
And there
people
was
like
no
that.
Way
yeah.
to find an exit ramp.
Those people are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and that's going too far, obviously.
But in my life, I have noticed there, and maybe this is observational bias, but I have noticed that women do seem to be able to talk with each other longer and communicate longer with each other. And whereas my guy conversations, it's like my brother, I think that, you know, he and I'll have a conversation. It feels like we talked about, you know, 5, 6, 7 different things, and I'll hang up and I'll look down and it was a 1:38 conversation.
Right.
Bullet pointed.
But we bullet pointed it and it was great.
You feel like
we touched base.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I do need to do a better job of that with friends and family. You know, sometimes I don't take that initiative to call them, and whether it's a 2-minute conversation or a 40-minute conversation, I need to do a better job of that. And I wonder all the time, is it because of our job that we're robbing some of our friends and family members of conversation because we're a little beaten by talking.
Well, I think also culture has changed. I think with texting and ways to keep up with people that don't involve actual talking.
Yeah.
It's changed communication. Because I know before we all had cell phones and all that, I used to have conversations in my high school years and college years. I would have long phone conversations very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I don't. Now it's rare. And I've tried to get better about that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it'll come back as you get older. Do older people enjoy the longer conversation? Because maybe they're not interacting at work like they used to, and they don't have that outlet. So as you get older, you may want to have those conversations
more. I tell you, I hate texting.
I do too.
I do too.
I can't stand it. I got big hands and a really small phone.
Yeah.
And I hate correcting autocorrect, and it just feels like there's just too much work.
I can't tell you how many times I've texted a friend and said, I'm going to email you, too much to text.
Mm-hmm.
But I have friends that will text pages and pages. But I can't do that. It's too frustrating.
Let's have a conversation about it.
You like the friend who will text you one thought at a time, and it's 10 texts right in a row. They couldn't just type it all out into one paragraph and send one
and another
text.
Thing.
They have to break it up as if they are under some sort of character limit.
Do you think because of our new world and texting and short attention spans and TikTok and all of that, that we're going to lose the art of the conversation and the art of storytelling?
Yeah, I think we probably already are.
I think a lot of that is already there. I know that a lot of people find it much harder to have conversations now. They're so used to, and we're all part of that too. I think that, I know I felt it in my life when you feel thankful and relieved when you get someone's voicemail. You remember that experience started happening in the 90s and... And we kind of got to where I hope I don't have to actually talk to anyone. So that started a long time ago. But
yeah.
I have heard from people that say that that have to interact with people a lot, young people, and that they do not like having conversations in person.
Mm-hmm.
That they prefer to have once removed.
I could totally see that. You know, Jerry said yesterday that he found that the communication with these potential draft picks, that he's had a better experience on Zoom than he did talking to them in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that may be just what you mentioned. It was on their end because maybe that 21-year-old college football player felt more comfortable having a Zoom with someone
and
talking to a screen than he did talking to somebody in person.
I think everyone's gotten intimidated with in-person communication.
Yeah. Two things come to mind when talking about communication as well. One of them is the great John Prine, who once wrote, "How the hell can a person go to work in the morning, come home in the evening, and have nothing to say?" I think that's as guys,
but that's what guys do that routinely.
We got to be careful about that though, and you do have to. I don't want to turn into that person. That's from Angel from Montgomery, which is a great song, but it's true, and I think we have to be careful about that.
Didn't you say that she always got mad at you when you would come home after a huge, long day at work and she'd ask you, how'd it go today? What happened? Nothing.
Nothing?
What do you mean? You've been gone for 10 hours. Nothing happened during that 10 hours?
That's not fair by me.
Oftentimes, aren't you doing the calculation of, okay, if I say this, she's going to ask follow-up questions, and it's a whole story that I don't even think is that great.
Right.
So you're doing the job of editing. That's why you're saying nothing.
Yeah, we've
all done
that.
It's not because you don't want to talk. It's just that you think that I'll hit the highlights when there are some highlights.
Right.
It's like that are worth repeating.
A Seinfeld bit of when a woman asks him or any man, what are you thinking?
Nothing.
But you have this look on your face. You have to be thinking, no, I really wasn't thinking anything. Men have these just periods of nothing going on in their mind.
Just ducks on a wheel going round and round in their brain. They're good. Just sitting right there.
Most of the time, I'm thinking about nothing.
But I have known some people who just will sit there and just plow through the minutia of their day. It's like they have no idea that you're trying to tell a story. If someone asks you about your day,
don't want to ask you.
You're trying to ask. You need to tell them a story. Right. You're not going to catalog every single part of the day.
Yeah.
That's not doing the editing that's necessary for a story.
Right. Mm.
You know, so I went to the grocery store and everything, and there was this, I had a problem finding a parking spot, first of all. There were all these cars that were lined up, and I couldn't get one, and I finally got one that was over by this light pole, which was bent, and I don't know why they don't even fix this thing. But anyway, so I get, anyway, I park the car and everything, and I'm trying to, meanwhile, I've asked, you know, how much did you pay for the floor right. mat or whatever?
I'm getting there.
And just, I'm getting there. Just hold on. And yeah, I've known people that get frustrated if you try to short circuit their story because yeah. they think the number of steps that they took to get into the Walmart is an important detail.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you kind of turn into that. I also thought about the best scene ever in SpongeBob when Plankton and his wife starts just lighting him up about, you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to, and here's another thing. And he looks to the camera and says, and she's off again, ladies and gentlemen. Well, don't turn into Plankton. You do yeah. have a responsibility to interact, to have conversation, and to be
yes, those,
present.
Those two people need to meet in the middle
yes,
there.
Yes, absolutely.
You need to not be completely uncommunicative, and you can't be overly communicative.
Yeah. There we go.
All right, that's Talking Talk, 8:32 on the ticket. Coming up next, it's a Muser's tradition, Ribby Paltz and his NFL mock draft.